welcome to the Hometown Real Estate Heroes Podcast. My name is Mitch Steven, and I am the founder, the sponsor, and sometimes even the host of this podcast. And this podcast is designed specifically to help you achieve your financial freedom, no matter where you have to go to find that independence. Our mission is to help you fire your boss and quit your job so that you can free up 2,600 hours a year to find out who you're supposed to be and to become the person you are supposed to become on this planet. So I invite you to subscribe, like, and share so that you can watch others that are on their way or have already accomplished this financial independence and are well on their way to becoming the person they are supposed to be. If you know of a guest that should be on this podcast, please go to 1000houses.com. That's 1000houses.com/podcast2. That's the number 2, /apply.
So welcome to this week's episode of Hometown Real Estate Heroes. We are excited to be welcoming Ryan McDonald from Asset Resolution Partners. So I'm excited to learn a little bit more about this and this kind of unique niche in real estate. So why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of an introduction into your business and why you started it?
All right. Well, like you said, my name is Ryan McDonald. I'm one of the partners of Asset Resolution Partners. And the way we started the business is my business partner had been doing real estate in San Antonio for quite some time. One of the problems that we encountered in San Antonio was that it's a very old city. So there's it's very old city. There's lots of generations that typically take over similar households. And we encountered several properties that would have bad title issues from where someone would pass on and children would inherit interest in the property, and then would carry on and so forth. As we came across those types of deals, they became harder and harder to solve, especially as you got across more and more generations. So we basically studied the Texas property code, the estates code, and the family code in order to find ways to solve issues where you would have multiple heirs fighting over interest in a property or a property in general, or they couldn't come to agreement on those types of properties. And we would try to find ways to resolve that for them. So we don't just do predominantly, or we don't do only heirship issues. We do a variety of issues such as lien claims against properties, bad conveyance instruments, and so on. Heirships tend to be a majority of the issues that we tend to face in this business. So we figured, let's revolve our business around solving those issues and see if we can make something of it.
That's really cool. So, so what kind of got you there? Do you have a background in law? Do you have some real estate background? Like, how did you kind of decide, like, this is the niche, this is where we're going to do this?
Well, it wasn't quite me. It was my business partner, Logan Fulmer. Nice. What he was doing is he was finding, you know, properties here on the east side that were super clouded, and he would try to find ways to solve them. And he kept running into a lot of the same issues with a lot of these family members. And what he had done was he had basically set aside time with an attorney that we knew locally that was, you know, very well known in the area, and paid him lots of money just to sit down and pick his brain for hours and hours. I think he said he spent $5,000 just in his time asking him questions and having the attorney answer them, or if he didn't know how to answer it, he would research it with him there and they would try to find a solution. So basically it was a lot of upfront capital invested into meetings with these attorneys so that way we could find solves for the problems that we were encountering. And then it took off from there.
Nice. So how did you get involved? you mentioned your business partner, everything like that. Like, how did you get kind of roped into this business?
Well, I originally started learning about real estate in 2015. Spent about a year learning all the different avenues before I finally, you know, got the desire to jump into it. And then from there, it took me about a year. I ended up getting my first deal, I guess, 2 years into real estate, but I had no idea what I was doing. And Logan was actually a best friend of my brother-in-law. Oh, so my brother-in-law put me in touch with Logan, and I call him and I say, hey, this person said yes to this deal. I have no idea how to even write a contract. Please help me and coach me and walk me through. So from there is I basically brought a deal to Logan, and I used that as my initial investment into him as being a mentor of mine. I basically told him, take this deal and I don't want anything from it. Just be my mentor and coach and show me what you're doing. And so from that point forward, we got through that first deal. And then I thought, you know what? This is a pretty smart individual. Looks like he's got a good head on his shoulders. I'm going to try to repeat this process and keep bringing opportunities to him, and we can tackle them together. So I guess you could say after that first deal, I figured out a way to attach myself to the hip. So that way I can continue to move forward in this business and we can kind of get successful together.
So when you're doing this, when you're talking about, you know, finding and working on, you know, finding that good business partner, do you think having that mentorship piece to kind of grow your business and kind of bring something to the table yourself? I mean, so you didn't just come to him empty-handed and say, oh, well, mentor me. You came to him with something. So do you think that's something that helps as you're growing a business, whether it's your real estate business or whatever it is?
I think it's incredibly important. One of the things that I learned quickly is the compression of time and energy spent on educating yourself, trying to do it on your own versus finding a mentor. I think it was huge because in a sense, when I first partnered with him, I was able to condense years worth of education into several months. Right. And I think that helped me speed up in my learning process, as well as my ability to tackle deals and more complex deals, and specifically learn the nuances and the specific tactics on how to manage and find these deals. I know nowadays with all the education there is online, a lot of people can get good education on theoretical ideas or the strategies, but when it comes down to the tactics on how to get it from start to finish and all the little specifics in between, no one really knows that. So if anyone could ever find themselves a mentor or a coach that would help them along those ways, that is something that I think is truly valuable in order to help you grow.
Very cool. So then as you were kind of going through this process, and kind of working on growing your business, what kinds of obstacles did you run into? So what kind of stumbling blocks did you kind of have to like get over while you were doing this?
Well, for me, you know, I didn't have any sales background per se. I did end up taking a sales role here in the San Antonio market at one time, and it kind of helped me get over my fear of rejection, but I still encounter that all the time. So, always a fear of rejection and offering, you know, giving some of these individuals offers that we do as investors is always a little bit nerve-wracking. But some of the biggest obstacles, I mean, that we still face daily are how do we solve these individuals' difficult problems with multiple fighting heirs and trying to find some way for them to monetize or get something out of this property that they've put so much time and effort or that they inherited from their family? How do we give them something back versus them just leaving it to the wayside because they can't find a solution? So I mean, we still encounter those, like I said, daily. About 80% of our portfolio comes from those specific types of deals. And each one of them is, I would like to say that they're fairly simple and easy and or there's a commonality between them all. But in reality, they're all individually difficult with their own problems. So they all require, you know, a specific type of problem solving skill that we have to apply for each one.
Yeah. So I want to go back a little bit to this idea of rejection. And you talked about getting used to rejection, dealing with rejection. When you're doing something like this, like you said, you're bringing deals to real estate investors, like this is different than like, you know, okay, I'm going to go to the bank. I'm going to get my own money. I'm going to buy a fixer upper. I'm going to flip the house. You know, like you don't really have to deal with rejection there. As long as your credit's good and you can, and the bank's going to lend you some money, then you're going to be able to do that and kind of move forward. But, you know, when you're doing these kinds of things where you're looking for investors, you're looking for people, you're looking for these solutions, You know, how do you learn to deal with that rejection and keep going forward and not get kind of sidelined by that rejection?
To be honest, I think the only way I was able to do that is by finding that inner purpose of why I was doing what I was doing. Because if you're just doing this to make money, I think you're going to quit fairly quickly. For me, the biggest driver was I recently had a daughter and I wanted to find ways to spend more time with her and to be able to support her as she grew up. So that was the big catalyst for my change. And it was, you know, not just spending time with the family, but it was a mental change that I had to make as well. And so for me is I look at it as numbers. If I make 100 calls a day to these individuals, someone's bound to say yes. I've just got to push through and get through the numbers so that way I can get to where I want to be able to have that quality time with my family and the kids, which is my true goal in the end, is be able to have that time with the family.
Now, I like that idea of like having that purpose, having that why behind what you're doing. Like you said, if it's just for money, you can pretty much go do anything, right? Like you can go do anything, make some money, move on. So I like this idea of finding that purpose and figuring out your why. And so I assume that like too, because anytime you're building any sort of business, whether it's real estate or not, you're going to have those dark times. You're going to have those times when you're just like, oh my gosh, have I made a terrible mistake? And you know, being able to hold on to that why is probably a huge part of making sure that you keep going through and that you eventually find that success.
Yeah, I'm with you all the way. Like I said, my family, when I first started, I had my first child. Now I have four. And they range from 2 to 6. And so they're all pretty close together. And I want to try to find a way to maximize my time with them as well as with my wife. So that way I'm not slaving away in a 9-to-5 job that I'm unhappy with, or an 8-to-5 job that I'm unhappy with, right, for the next 30, 40 years. I want to be able to enjoy as much time as I can. And this business has been great for allowing me to do that. My schedule's flexible. I'm able to take my kids to swim lessons, to doctor's appointments, to anything and everything. Wife and I will plan, you know, daily special outings with each of our kids individually. And I wouldn't be able to do that if I was at my old job. I'd be stuck having to report to a boss and asking for my time off. Whereas right now, through the freedom that I've been able to create through this business, I can do that at any point I like.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think I find too, a lot of the time when you're talking about creating freedom through your business and making these things happen, there are systems and there are things that you put into place to kind of make that go. So what sort of things have you found? What sort of strategies have you been able to implement as you've grown this business to make sure that it's working in a way that gives you that time and that flexibility?
Well, strategies and systems, I'll say they're not my strongest suit. So I've never been process oriented. I've always been, you know, shoot from the hip, move as quick as you can. So it does take me quite a bit to establish some sort of processes, systems, and procedures. But for me, I have a process internalized in my mind of how I know I need to go about finding properties and finding these opportunities. And right now we're basically implementing processes and procedures to kind of streamline this. So that way I can take a lot of the onus off of myself and start the process of delegating tasks to others in order to maximize my time. So I would say I don't have any processes and procedures quite yet, but that's the next phase of my business.
That's cool. Now you did talk about delegation. So what are some things like, I mean, that's one of the things, right? One of the key things is understanding, you know, what somebody else can handle, some of those tasks that other people can handle, and then focusing on the things that only you can do. How do you find somebody good to delegate upon? Like you said, you're talking about delegation, you're talking about like finding those team members. What do you look for when you're trying to find somebody to help you through those times and make sure that you've got somebody who's, you know, competent? That's the hardest thing I think about delegation, right? Is like, you're like, oh my gosh, can I trust them to do this properly?
I think the biggest thing for me is accountability and being able to find someone who you can see the way they carry, you know, themselves, that they try to hold themselves to a certain standard and accountable for for certain aspects. So that's the number one thing, is because I want to make handing something off that you're going to be able to execute on it and get it done quickly and without consistent oversight. That is probably the biggest driving factor for me. And, you know, some of these properties that I do, if I need help getting utilities set up or payments or things of that nature, I want to be able to handle that off and expect for it to get taken care of quickly. And, you know, if I don't feel like you're an accountable person, you'll always come up with an excuse. So that's probably the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. So now you've mentioned your family and you've mentioned your wife and you've got, you know, you've got four kids, but, and then you also mentioned too, that you met your business partner through your brother-in-law. So where does your family kind of fit into this kind of business? I mean, we've talked about how, you know, you want to do the business and own your business and get those systems in place so you have more time with your family. But do you actually engage in business practices with your family? Do they influence your business at all? Or do you try and keep that separate?
At the moment, I try to keep that separate. Eventually, you know, as I progress, my wife would like to take some sort of role within the business, and I am open to that. My wife is very much type A. I'm very much not. So I know she would be a crucial driving force within the business, you know, helping implement those processes and procedures and growing the team. At the moment though, you know, she currently works an 8-to-5 job, and, you know, her plate is full with that as well as family. And I help out with family as well, but, you know, it's hard to say that I do anything near of what my wife does at her capability. So she definitely is someone that I lean on a lot. So at the moment, I try to keep it separate until I get to that next phase in my life where she can take more of a role within the business.
Yeah. So as you're doing that and kind of talking about that kind of transition, do you kind of have benchmarks and goals that you set for yourself to kind of know, okay, when do we reach this point? When do we kind of move forward? Are you always setting goals for your business and kind of reaching for that next?
As teams here, we do try to set some goals. I would say not so clearly defined as we would like them to be, but we do try to hold ourselves to a standard of, you know, making certain number of phone calls to be able to bring in a certain number of deals. With our typical type of properties, it's a little more difficult because it doesn't necessarily turn into a numbers game. It's more of an issue of how do we network with individuals within the real estate community in order to come across these opportunities where we can help and salvage deals that people are willing or getting ready to walk away from. I do have my personal goals as far as with my wife and what we want to accomplish by a certain date. We do have those, but when it comes to KPIs and key metrics, like a lot of wholesalers do, you know, you have your dialers and you have to go through and contact so many properties. Ours aren't quite like that. Our business doesn't quite work like that because we're a little more targeted on how we find our properties. And then once we target the correct ones that we want to go after, then we go after them. But it's not as clearly defined as just making phone calls.
Yeah. And I think that's really interesting though, that you talk about, you know what you want to go after, you know what kind of target properties you're looking for, and you know what kind of networking you need to do. So, you know, rather than having like some abstract goal of hitting X this or X that, you have an idea of what's going to be ideal and then kind of go from there. And I think that worked really well as far as, you know, try to move forward and get that kind of just that kind of approach, because like you said, it's not always about having like a KPI, right? Yeah. Sometimes it's about knowing who your target is and what you're trying to accomplish.
Exactly. Like I said, for us, it's our properties are more like needles in a haystack. So we spend a lot of time researching and looking through, but once we identify our particular properties, we know how to go after them and try to find the solutions to solve them. But it's not as easily as a hundred game as a numbers games like wholesalers. You know, you make 100 calls, you're going to get 5 deals a month. For us, it's how do we comb through records and find the initial signs of problems within a property, and then how can we, in a sense, formulate the story of what's going on there and try to find the solution for the families involved.
Yeah, I think that's something that you talked about earlier too, is like more like your problem solving, finding those solutions and getting that done. So now when you talk about going through and networking with other people in the real estate kind of profession and finding deals that are about to fall through, how does your business model handle that? Do you take a percentage of that deal if it gets done? How does that work?
So the face of my company is my business partner, Logan. So a lot of the referrals and whatnot that come into the company come through him. And what we will typically do is we'll delegate them out according to, you know, almost try to delegate out the properties and what's going on evenly amongst the team. As far as percentage breakouts, it basically boils down to, if we can get the deal done, then of course we'll, whoever the wholesaler is or whoever is the individual in our network that's bringing us the deal, we'll try to assert what we think we could pay for the property that includes their fee, or what we think we could tack on their fee is. But the way our business operates is, you know, we don't provide advice to a lot of these individuals because we're not attorneys. We don't have law degrees. We don't practice law. So a lot of the deals that we typically take down, we have to be the owners because we can do those things for ourselves. We just can't do them on behalf of someone else. So the deals that we typically look at from other wholesalers and or investors in the area are the ones that they're right about ready to throw away in the trash and walk away from because they can't solve. And we just tell them, oh, hold on, bring that to us. Let's see if we can find a solution. And if we can, then we'll find a way to compensate you as well as help the family out of their problem.
That's cool. That's neat, because it kind of adds a little bit of extra purpose to the business that you are running. So that's very cool.
Yeah.
So as we kind of wrap up here, if there are people out there looking to get started in real estate, maybe not necessarily specifically what you're doing, but you said you did start out with real estate, you did start out bringing a deal to somebody. What is your number one tip for people who want to get started in real estate, kind of want to try their hand at it and get involved?
I guess it would be two parts. Is one, you've got to be ready to take action. You have to get out there and just try. When I first started, I was doing high equity list in an area that was basically a giant waste of time that I realized. You know, it's kind of hard to get properties at a discount from high equity owners, but who are also very wealthy individuals that have a lot of resources at their disposal. So you're not likely to get an individual like that to sell you at a property at a discount. So a lot of it was kind of sifting through and figuring it out on my own. But I think the most important aspect that someone needs to do, basically someone needs to assert or assess whenever they're getting into real estate, is you need to find a coach and a mentor and try to tie yourself to the hip as best as possible. Don't ask them for coffee. Don't ask them for pick their brain, because they're really busy. You will have to do some of the legwork yourself. And if you come across that opportunity, don't be so greedy as to say, hey, I've got this opportunity, however, I want a specific cut. Like for me, the deal that I brought to Logan was a very, very, very good deal. Mm-hmm. But I knew I would get further along in my real estate career much faster if I was willing to give up the deal in order for the education and the knowledge that I obtained. And so far, that's paid me back in multiples. And if I had to go back in time, I would do that again. So like I said, the most important thing, take action. And then second is also find a mentor as quickly as you can.
That's very cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Again, this has been Ryan McDonald. He is with Asset Resolution Partners. Can you tell us once again, where somebody, if they were looking for your services or if they're looking to contact you, how would they do that?
You can look us up on Google and on Facebook. My business partner is very active. on Facebook. So just Google Asset Resolution Partners. You'll see us pop up there. You know, if you want to reach out to us directly, email us at info@arpusa.com. And then one of us will always give you a call right back and see if we can help you out.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Ryan. Thank you for all of you for listening to this episode of Hometown Real Estate Heroes. We hope that you will join us again next time when we feature another person, another ordinary person working toward an extraordinary life through real estate.
This is Mitch Stephen, and I would like to thank all the listeners for tuning into the Hometown Real Estate Heroes podcast. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please go to 1000houses.com/podcast, /apply. We invite all our listeners to share our Hometown Real Estate Heroes podcast, and also we'd appreciate it if you'd rate and or review our show wherever you listen to your podcast. It would be greatly appreciated. It is our mission to spotlight local real estate entrepreneurs that are killing it in their market and to highlight their strategies and their personal story. It is our intention to help real estate investors learn and grow. Please be sure to subscribe because we are sure that you will find very valuable nuggets in our content-driven episodes. This podcast is my way of giving back, and I would like to personally thank all of the Hometown Real Estate Heroes that have participated or that intend to participate. And I'd like to thank all of our listeners and hope that you tune in and share this with your friends and family often. Thank you very much. We're out of here.